You are listening to the weekly message from Mount Helena Community Church. Celebration services are every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Gateway Center. Or join us live online at www.mounthelena.cc.
A couple of logistical things I just want to cover briefly before I dive into the content this morning. I know this is a little bit of short notice, and many of you probably weren't aware of it, but Jeremy Barbagello is going with a team from Missoula to South Africa in January. Those of you that attended the Summit Conference this last fall know that we raised $5,000, actually about $8,000 in one night to purchase a building in South Africa, one of the townships, and it was a pub. And so God turned a pub into a church, and that'd be kind of cool, I think, you know, if your church kind of looked like a pub, that'd be a pretty fun place to go to church. But they've been doing some renovating there, and Jeremy is going with a team from Missoula, but they have opportunities still for people to go if you're interested. If you're interested in going and participating in some construction with a Missoula team from Clark Fork over there, as well as from the Lion's Den, which are two regions beyond churches that we are friends with over there, I would encourage you. I realize that is short notice, but I know you, some of you younger people and single people, you have the flexibility to do something like that, and if you feel so inclined, that opportunity is there, feel free to contact me immediately after the service if you're interested in doing that. The other thing I wanted to mention is Matt Winters. Really appreciate seeing you up here playing guitar with our team. That's awesome. I love it. I love who God keeps bringing to our family here. It's exciting. 2 weeks ago, Cassie Shirley, who's our resident missionary, talked about one of the things that she'd been experiencing in recent years, and it is relating to the Holy Spirit and her view of the Holy Spirit and relating to the Holy Spirit as a being, as a person, rather than as a power. And that reminded me of some things, and I just wanted to talk about some of the basics today of the Holy Spirit, as well as some of my own thoughts about it. Cassie said that we behave or communicate like we want the power of the Spirit, but not necessarily the person of the Spirit. Isn't it interesting? Sometimes we want the effects of God in our life, but we don't want God in our life. We want the benefits of the relationship with God, but we don't necessarily want the relationship. And I don't know that we ever really think that outright, but our behavior and the way we pray and the way we communicate actually indicates that sometimes. But the Bible teaches us that the Spirit is so much more than just a force or a power, but that He is a person. There is a huge amount of doctrinal controversy when it comes to the Holy Spirit. I am very aware of that. While standing up here talking to you about it today, there are massive divisions and denominations, a lot of theology out there concerning the Holy Spirit, but particularly the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People get nervous when you start talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because it's a controversial subject. I'm not going to be tackling that today, but I will tell you that we believe and we teach and we practice here at Mount Helena Community Church that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a separate experience from salvation. I know that a lot of us come from different backgrounds and different points of view on it, and we have an attitude around here. If you go through the growth track class, one of the things we say is that there's negotiables and there's non-negotiables. It is not negotiable that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. If you disagree with me on that, this is just probably not going to work out for you here. Okay? But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we believe, and in my mind, it's not negotiable as far as theology is concerned for myself, but as far as participating and being a part of the family here, I understand that we're all at different points in our walk. And so if you disagree with me on that point of view, that's fine. You're sure welcome to be here still. You're sure welcome to continue in that process and asking God, and I would encourage you towards that direction. But if you don't, I'm certainly not going to ask you to leave. I'm not willing to fight with you about it. But that is what we teach. When it comes to controversial subjects, our attitude, our primary goal in our attitude is to be gracious. We have all types of division in the church. I don't see any reason that we should contribute to it. And so when we're dealing with a delicate subject or a potentially delicate subject, our attitude is first and foremost grace with everybody around us, understanding that everybody around us is coming from a different point of view. We know that Jesus and Paul both made a really big deal about being unified. Paul went so far as to say things like, you know, today if we actually were arguing over whether or not we should eat meat, which there might be something wrong with you if you don't eat meat, I think, you know. I'm just kidding. If you're a vegetarian, I'm sorry, but that's your, you know, I understand that you came to that conclusion. I'm nowhere on the same side of the spectrum as you. But seriously, there are controversies about things like that. And Paul told us, he said, if one man's faith allows him to eat meat, great. If another man's doesn't, that's fine. Don't let things like that cause division amongst you. The Holy Spirit, in my mind, is a little more serious than that. But we approach things that way. That it's not worth having massive division. Jesus prayed before he left. He said, may they be one, praying for his disciples and his people, as we are one, him and the Father. Unity was a really big deal to Jesus. It was more important than the intricate details of theology. He made a really big deal about that, but we don't necessarily latch on to that kind of thinking today. It's very important to us that we're right, down to the very detail. But the reality is, and I've shared this with you many times before, that I don't think any one of us is going to stand before God and go, boy, I'm glad I got it all right. Are we? Then we should extend grace to one another when it comes to these things. What I want to start with this morning is John chapter 16. Now, if you're not that familiar with the scripture, remember this. John chapter 14 and 16 are great places for you to go to get an introduction to the concept of the Holy Spirit and what is going on with that situation. Jesus is giving some final things to his disciples. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. They're grieving. He's going to leave. They don't understand that he's about to die on the cross, but he does, and they're disappointed. And Jesus says this, it is to your advantage that I go. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. One of the things that I was thinking about while processing this message is that we have these various eras in biblical history, and you know, you've got the Genesis and Abraham and the introduction of faith and those kind of things, and then you have the law that comes in, so you have this era of the law, this beginning to understand right and wrong and what the holiness of God and those kind of things, and Jesus comes to the earth and he dies on the cross as the final sacrifice for your and I's sin, and when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven and eternal life is something to be inherited for us. But and from that point forward, we are living in an era of the Holy Spirit. An era where Jesus went to heaven and he asked the Father and the Father sent the Helper to earth for the benefit of you and I. It's a magnificent promise. Another subject I'm not going to tackle in that much depth today, but I want to just introduce you to the idea. If you've been a Christian very long, you've probably heard the concept of the Trinity. It's not generally outside of Christianity. It's more controversial, I think, than it is within Christianity. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all God. They're different, but they're one. Something beyond your and I's comprehension, really. Because they go so far as to say, baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at some of that in a minute here. And yet we also know that they have independent wills. The scripture teaches us that the Spirit gives gifts as he wills. When Jesus was in Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but your will, indicating two different wills. They are separate, and yet they're one. They're united. They're one God. Some people outside of Christianity will say, well, if you believe in the Trinity, then you believe in three gods. No, we believe in one God that's united with three separate beings. Are you confused yet? It's one of those things that just requires faith. In fact, one of the most I tried to think of different types of analogies and things. One of the things that came to my mind is my mind and my emotions and my flesh. My flesh might want to eat that fourth piece of cake, and my brain doesn't. You've never had that feeling before? My flesh wants one thing and my spirit wants another. My flesh wants to sin, but my spirit is resisting it. I have a divided will inside. Two different wills, and yet I'm one being, aren't I? That's kind of hard to imagine. Or my mind knows I should or shouldn't, but my flesh just goes, I don't care what you think, brain, I'm doing it. I'm going to eat that fourth piece of cake, or fifth, or sixth. When you look at the Trinity, you can, and think of it in those terms, you can imagine three separate and yet the same. The Bible says that when two people get married, the two become one flesh. What? How is that possible? We have separate wills, and yet we're totally very different people, and yet we become one flesh, and we realize that one of the main purposes of marriage is oneness, unity, the coming together of two individuals. We can see that as a reflection of the Trinity, God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we lost it. He speaks. How do we know that the Holy Spirit is an individual separate from God the Father and God the Son? The Spirit Himself speaks. Hebrews chapter 3 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of the rebellion. It's what the Spirit says. What does it say in Revelation? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The Spirit speaks. He is God, and He speaks. He's a still, small voice. Tyler talked about a few weeks ago about the story of Elijah and the still, small voice speaking to him. He reasons. He reasons. For it seemed good, it says in Acts chapter 15, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. What do you mean it seemed good to the Holy Spirit, Paul? How did you know that? It seemed good to the Holy Spirit? Try that one the next time you try getting away with something. It seemed good with the Holy Spirit that I have that fourth piece of cake. How do you know that? Wow, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden than these requirements. And he goes on to list a list of requirements. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit, and it seemed good to us. Why? The Holy Spirit speaks. We are in relationship with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is God with us right now, in this room and inside of us. It is our most direct connection to the wholeness and the fullness of God is through the Spirit which He has given us. That's why Jesus said, it's to your benefit that I go away, that you would then receive this Spirit, this part of God. He has knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. He knows the thoughts of God. He exercises will. I mentioned it just a few minutes ago. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions it, he's speaking of the gifts of the Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. He has a will. The Holy Spirit has a will. And yet we're reminded, like what Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. Jesus was independent of God in that way, and yet He looked to God for His direction to see what the Father was doing and only do what the Father was doing. And when in the garden, He said, nonetheless, He said, if it be possible that this cup pass from me, that'd be great. But nonetheless, not my will, but your will be done. It stretches your thinking, doesn't it? that they could be separate and yet one. The Holy Spirit, same way. He is communicating with his people on the earth the heart of the Father and the will of the Father. But he also has a will of his own in which he apportions to us gifts. He feels, he gives fellowship. He gives life, he has life. Realizing or reminding yourself that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity can have an impact on your relationship with God. It can impact the way you view anything in your faith. Having a right understanding of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's role in your life can majorly change your walk with God. One of the things that sometimes bothers me about the way we communicate, about the songs that we sing and the way that we pray, is we pray as though the Holy Spirit is the inanimate power of God put forth. I guess what I mean by that is that one of the simplest ways to say it is we so often seek his hands and not his face, I've heard it said. We want from God and we need from God. And Paul says, ask. You know, present all types of requests to God. We are dependent upon God. And yet sometimes we get mixed up and we think the goal is to feel God. To feel God is not the goal. Yeah, I just said that. We sing a song called Your Presence. And I wrestle, we probably will never sing it again now that I'm saying this. You can't, I don't have a problem with that. It's just that when I think, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us experience. That's not a wrong request. But we need to understand the right order of things. When we want the power and the movement of God in our lives, but we don't relate to God, we can't expect it. It's like when you're a kid and you run to your dad for money. It's like, hey, dad, give me $5. Hey, dad, give me this. Hey, dad, give me that. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But we actually need to have the relationship as the priority with who God is. Experiencing God and the power of God is a wonderful thing. I would love it if demonstrations of the Spirit's power were happening all over this place. I would love it. I really would. It would be fantastic. But I also understand that we have a tendency to be fat sheep. We have a tendency to be selfish children too. Where it's like, I want all the benefits and I don't want any of the discipline of being a child. We know that discipline is good and that God doesn't hesitate to discipline his children. Yeah, but it's not a popular message, is it? We sang it this morning in the song, nothing could separate even if I ran away. And that's true. But it's not licensed to run away. It's not the right decision. We don't believe in a greasy grace. We believe in a grace from a Father that loves us and has orchestrated history in such a way that he's redeeming us unto himself in order to bring us back into a relationship with the Father. The Holy Spirit is God. I don't want to bore you to death with doctrine. Yeah, I do. It'll be fun. I don't mind. It's good stuff. This is actually a foreshadowing of the covenant. And, you know, the law has already been in place for a long time. And Jeremiah the prophet says, in prophesying what God is saying, and no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and I'll remember their sin no more. Now, this is really interesting. Because there's only one way that our sin is forgiven and he remembers it no more, and it's through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And Jesus returns to the Father and sends the Spirit to us so that we can know God from the least to the greatest. Every single one of us It's why the priesthood is no longer necessary. Because from the least to the greatest. Now, we get uncomfortable with this because we see that line in there. Where does it say? No longer shall each one teach his neighbor. That sounds like a recipe for chaos, doesn't it? Sounds like out of control and disorderly. We need a pastor, or we need a priest, or we need this person to be the one that teaches us. Moses, you go to the mountain for us. Right? That's what happened in that period of time. We don't want to relate to God. You relate to God, and then you teach us. And yet God is challenging that thinking, saying, every one of them will know me. It won't even be necessary. We know that we need to teach, okay? We know that the Spirit gives a gift of teaching to people so that people can be taught. There's a time for education. But I can't know God for you. You have to know God. You have to come into relationship with Him. He designed it that way, and He's given you His Spirit in order to do that. Know the Lord. Each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. Let's not take for granted the magnificent time in which we live with the Holy Spirit. It's really, really cool, because it would be really hard to be in Jeremiah's day and the way mankind had to relate to God. We have a lot at our disposal. Before I go on to this scripture here, I just want to mention a couple things about the deity, deified God. The Holy Spirit is God, not just the power of God, He is God. There's some of the scriptures in the New Testament that Paul refers to. This one in particular, Paul's talking about the prophet Isaiah, but it's in the book of Acts. He says, and disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet. Okay, and he goes on to say something. But the point of this is that Paul's saying the Holy Spirit was right when he said, and he's referring to something from the Old Testament. In Isaiah it says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go. And say to this people, I'm fighting a chest cold. If I cough in this mic, it's going to blow your eardrums out. Excuse me. The point being that in the Old Testament it says, God said to Isaiah. And Paul says, the Holy Spirit said to Isaiah. There's a correlation there between God and the Holy Spirit being God. 2 Samuel, the Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. His word is on my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me. He's equating the Holy Spirit with God. The Spirit is God. Also, 1 Corinthians, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy. And you are that temple. If the Spirit resides in you, and that makes you a temple, that means the Spirit is God. If the Spirit were just a power and not a being, not God Himself, then you would not be a temple. There's a lot of other arguments people make about how the Holy Spirit is God and is a being. The Holy Spirit can be blasphemed. Not touching that with a 10-foot pole. What I really want to get after is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. What does that mean to you? When we look at the identity of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit actually does, there's a lot of good scriptures for it. I'm just going to hit a few of them today. Again, we're going back to John. This is chapter 14. Jesus is still talking about the Holy Spirit, or actually prior to the one I shared earlier. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be with you. The helper. Did you ever stop and just think, I have a helper? I have a helper. How many of you could use a helper? Sometimes I wish I could clone myself so that I could sit at home and my clones could go work for me, but then I watched Multiplicity and decided that was a bad idea. Wow, that's a bad joke, JR. Isn't it great that you have a helper? We have to have a helper. We need his help. We're a mess. And I'm sorry, we're kind of dumb. And we need God with us to help us. To help us in our time of need. To help us in our temptation. To help us in our circumstantial struggles. We have a helper. Jesus said, it's to your benefit that I send this helper to you. He's your helper. Do you talk to him? This could change the way you pray. I'm going to mess with you a little bit. I find myself often praying, God, fill me or so-and-so with your spirit. And in the last few weeks of thinking about this, I thought, Holy Spirit, fill me. Because when I say, God, fill me with your spirit, I'm talking about, it sounds like an inanimate force or a power, but when I pray directly to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God, it changes the way I see the situation. You can tar and feather me afterwards. But if the Holy Spirit is God and Jesus is God, we pray to Jesus, we pray to the Father, no problem. The Spirit, it's creepy. No, it's not. He is God. He is your helper. Paul said, as I mentioned earlier, have all kinds of requests. When your mouth opens and you speak them, the Spirit hears them. He's your helper. Advocate is another way that word gets translated. An advocate. I could use an advocate. Well, you have one. But the helper, or the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will, what? Teach you. Are you learning from the Holy Spirit? Are you learning from the Holy Spirit? If he's teaching, are you learning? It's kind of a strange thought. I want to refer back to a scripture. Let's see here. Jesus in John chapter 16, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, different scripture, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, implying that he has authority, but he's not speaking on it. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. That's cool. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. You know, when I read that, I think of a translator, something being declared. When I open, how many times do you open your Bible and you try and read and you just don't get anything out of it? I mean, I talk to guys all the time in particular. It's like, man, I read it as boring. I don't get anything out of it. I can't comprehend what it is. That's because it's a spiritual book. It is living words. It isn't communicated like a textbook. And it's not communicated really like a storybook either. It is the Word of God, and God is Spirit. We need the Spirit to translate what is His for us, to declare it to us. We can't really understand, interpret, and live out the Scripture without the Holy Spirit. All we gain is head knowledge otherwise, and we all know what happens then. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil type of lifestyle. If I have a lot of knowledge, I can beat you to death with it, be self-righteous and arrogant. But when I understand the Spirit of what God has done by His Spirit, in His Word, it changes the way I live, it changes the way I treat others, it changes the way I read the Scripture, it changes the way I interpret the Scripture. I need the helper, the teacher, the advocate who's declaring the things of God to me. I need him with me to teach me. Just read that. How do you relate to the Holy Spirit? I'm going to stretch you a little bit here. I don't know what your life is like, but get up in the morning and you barely get the kids out to school and you're off to work and your wife's off to work and you go about your insane day and you come home and you barely eat and da-da-da-da-da. And you flop on your pillow at night. You know what I do? I look over at my wife and I raise my eyebrow. I'm like, how you doing? Guys, can you raise one eyebrow? Seductively? Nice, Dave. That's good. It's actually not seductive, I learned. Because I raise my one eyebrow, I'm like, how you doing? She's like, she raises her eyebrow in a whole different fashion. What are you thinking, mister? I haven't talked to you in like 3 days. But that's real, isn't it? In Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, one of the things he teaches is be nice to the girl. You know, we just tend to get where, and it goes both ways. We want the various benefits of relationships. Not just in that fashion, but in all types of fashions. All the good things that come with relationship, we want the benefits of it. But if we want the benefit of those things, we have to make an effort to relate. Starts in the kitchen, doesn't it? But I always forget that. If I'm not courting my wife all day long, she didn't want much to do with me, okay? And you guys know what that's like. But it's true with friendships. If you're not spending time with people, if you're not investing in the relationship, you're not reaping the benefits of that relationship. How are we relating to the Spirit of God? Are we receiving the benefits? Do we want to benefit from that relationship? Then make it a relationship. I mentioned music a little bit earlier, but music gets us, we joke sometimes around here about music will get you to say things you wouldn't otherwise say. I mean, you ever think of some of your favorite songs and go, I would never say that. I'd sing it, I'll rock out to it, I'll air guitar to it. I never would say that to somebody. You know what I mean? The things that we sing to God, could we actually say it? Could we actually say it to God? The cheesy love songs on the radio, could we actually say that to the person that we love? We have to be able to communicate directly and sincerely from our heart to God, openly. Hey, don't let the cute new baby distract you. Well, I just saw all you guys looking up here. Thank you, God, for babies. Our prayers become self-centered. There is a fine line, again, I don't mean to beat a dead horse here, but there's a fine line between just being selfish and yet being dependent. We know that we need, but if we just become apathetic in our need, then we're just bound for weakness. We're bound to walk feebly. God's not opposed to making you uncomfortable. That's a bummer. I was praying for a friend of mine. I was Friday, we had a Regions Beyond meeting in Missoula. And there's Regions Beyond is a group of churches that we're friends with, we relate to. And we had a gathering in Missoula, just the leaders of the five groups that are involved. And one of the guys was, we were going around the room, we were sharing how things are going at the church and what's going well and what do we need prayer for. And one guy, finances is always an issue for people. And this church plant in Spokane, they're really, really struggling. Like, they're small, and church planting can be tough when you're small to draw an income from and those kind of things. And it looking like he's going to go without a paycheck this next month. And yet he was saying, but I know God is challenging my leadership. He's challenging my communication. I there's God in this. And so we're praying for him. And I'm like, God, bless this guy with just provide for him. And then I was reminded, nonetheless, not my will, but yours. God uses uncomfortable circumstances to change us. And it's like, okay, if I'm suffering financially and I so want delivered? Do I just expect to be delivered and blame God if I don't? Or do I embrace the challenge as discipline and believe that God is in it no matter what? He sang it this morning. He makes all things work together for my good. Dana preached it earlier this year. He makes all things work together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purposes. What do you mean? You're making this marriage difficulty, this financial difficulty, this whatever the circumstances are, this difficulty you're allowing in my life for my good? Yes. He disciplines those he loves. He wants us to grow and draw closer to him. Sometimes he's just a few steps away going, come on. Bible says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. It's like, no, I just want all the benefits, but I don't want to draw near to you. How do we draw near to him? Through the Spirit. How do you relate to the Spirit? I've challenged you several times recently towards the end of my messages, just asking the question, how is your relationship with God? And to look at that question in a new light today. What is my relationship with God like? Is it purely cerebral? Is it purely just a mental thing? Is it just going through my daily rituals? And that's how I relate to God? Or do I listen for his voice? Do I bring my needs before him in a way that's new every day? In a dependent way, not a selfish way. Are you praying? This is easy. This is easy. Sitting and listening to someone tell you about God is easy. Talking about God is easy, really. Doing something about it is hard. But at the end of the day, that's what we have to challenge ourselves with. Are we actually doing something with what we have? Are we taking this kingdom that we have been given further down the road? We won't answer for all of the issues with the church in history. We won't answer the issues that our parents had for them. We will answer for our time on the earth. You will answer for yourself. Now, you can take that as an intimidating, judgmental kind of a thing, or you can take it as, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this to the extent that God intends to. I want to live the fullness of what God has for me. When I was young and dumb, yes, I'm still kind of dumb. When I was about 19, 20, God was really getting a hold of me. I was just adamant that I was going to settle for nothing less than fulfilling the call of God in my life. I mean, just aggressive about it even. I was not going to live the all-American dream. I was not going to have four kids and a house on a street in America. We're going to do something crazy, which, of course, it's great to have that kind of ambition, and yet some of it's silliness. I found myself the other day going, you know, God, I wouldn't mind being an average Joe. Because it's hard, isn't it? To stretch ourselves to do what God has asked us to do. God's asked you to do something. Did you know that? Are you listening for what it is? Do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit to know what the will of the Father is? I wish he sent us letters in the mail. Actually, I guess we should just skip. That's where you put stamps on envelopes and guy brings the junk mail and puts it in your box every day. That's mail. I should just use email. God doesn't email us with instructions. He requests that we draw near to him and relate to him in order to hear his heart. We see, from looking at the scripture, we see that God has gone great lengths to connect us with him. Great lengths. And still requires faith. We have God right with us right with you. He is right with you. Cassie said something, and if you're kind of, she was saying, I drive down the road, and I pretend that Jesus is sitting in the seat next to me. And sometimes I just have that, a bad attitude, and I just kind of roll my eyes like, oh, brother. That's cheesy. It's not cheesy. The Spirit is right there. Right there. Right here. Right around us. Guiding us, leading us, wanting to speak to us, wanting to transform us. In Romans it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't do that by yourself. You need a helper. You need the advocate. You need the Spirit of God working in you. Let's take our relationship seriously with the Holy Spirit and draw near to Him. You guys understand that the Holy Spirit, especially if you have a lot of background and history with things, it can be a challenging subject, especially when you dive even further into it than we have today. Gifts, baptism, tongues, prophecy, those kinds of things. But if we ask, He'll teach us. He's our teacher. If we open ourselves up to that, He shows us the right way. If it's up to us, man, we're going to screw it up. But He'll teach us. And if you're struggling seriously, if you struggle with the Holy Spirit, if you need some breakthrough in that part of your life, these guys will be up here to pray with you, to encourage you. You guys, we do this every week. I just met with John Canny, who leads our prayer team, and just reminded of how important it is that every week we make ourselves available to people that need prayer.
For more information, visit our website at www.mounthelena.cc. Download our mobile app, available in iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook.